From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Justin Martin. We'll start with legal fallout after last night's election. Folks in Denton overwhelmingly voted to pass a fracking ban, the first city in Texas to do so. Hours later, the Texas Oil and Gas Association and the state's general land office sued the city. An attorney for the association says his group filed an injunction on the grounds that a ban on hydraulic fracturing is inconsistent with state law and violates the Texas Constitution. Denton's mayor says the city is prepared to defend the anti-fracking ordinance. Arguably the most heated race last night was the battle for Dallas County District Attorney. Republican Susan Hawk ousted incumbent Democrat Craig Watkins in a very tight contest. KERA's Bill Zeeble sat down with Hawk to talk about her plans for the office and spoke with a Democratic operative about what went wrong with Watkins' campaign.
Trust, transparency, and nonpartisanship are Republican Susan Hawk's catchwords she says will set her apart from District Attorney Craig Watkins. She beat him in Tuesday's nail-biter and hopes Dallas residents will soon see her that way, too.
First and foremost, I would think that they feel like if a crime has been committed or they are a victim of a crime or they are falsely accused of a crime, that the district attorney that represents them is someone that they can trust.
Hawk says law enforcement agencies, politicians, even residents stopped trusting Watkins despite his admirable efforts like freeing jailed men who were in fact innocent. That effort attracted broad praise and attention, but so did alleged misdeeds.
Pick up the newspaper and you're reading an article about the district attorney's abuse of power, abuse of spending, abuse of funds. And I think that the community deserves to pick up the paper and read about a district attorney who is prosecuting criminals or helping to make the community stronger.
Hector Flores agrees. The former national leader of the League of United Latin American Citizens strongly backed Watkins at first.
He walked on water there for a while. However, his attitude began changing. The whole concept of arrogance of power, where he became a very powerful politician.
Flores says a court dispute between Watkins and Judge Lena Lavario hurt the Hispanic community. Lavario found Watkins in contempt in a case, a ruling later overturned. The DA then backed a colleague to run against the Latina judge.
So I don't think you want to just throw us aside and not care about it coming back to bite you in the rear end later on.
That wasn't all. Flores says Watkins turned on fellow Democrats, too, backing a colleague to overthrow Dallas's Democratic Party chair. That attempt failed.
You got to go out and keep what you have and go to the enemy and get some of their votes, too. You don't ever give any votes up to nobody.
Flores is looking forward to a fresh start with Susan Hawk. He and other Hispanic leaders expect to sit down with the incoming DA soon. Bill Zeeble, KERA News.
Yesterday's election added a new layer of conservatism to state government. KERA's Shelley Koffler talked to Ross Ramsey of the Texas Tribune about how that might play out at the Texas legislature.
Well, Ross, with this election, it seems the Texas legislature is becoming a deeper shade of red, if you will. We have more conservative lieutenant governor, a larger Tea Party presence in the Senate, and I think a few more Republicans in the Texas House. How do you think that's going to affect the kind of policy issues the legislature is going to tackle?
You know, it removes resistance from what the most conservative members of the legislature have been trying to do. The Texas Senate in particular is going to be more conservative than its predecessor. And when you add Dan Patrick at the top, you know, the lieutenant governor is the gatekeeper who decides in large measure what the Senate gets to consider and doesn't consider. And I think you'll probably see some more conservative legislation coming out of that body.
Well, let's talk about a few things that Dan Patrick has said he wants to do. He said he wants to repeal the DREAM Act, which gives in-state tuition to undocumented high school graduates. Do you think an issue like that gets a wider hearing and could potentially pass?
Yeah, I expect things like that will pop up in this legislature, and I don't think that there's going to be a whole lot of resistance to them in the Senate. I think some of them will be fights, but I mean, don't be surprised if you see more conservative stuff coming out of the Texas Capitol.
We heard a lot about spending more on education, our public schools during the campaigns. As you know, a judge has said the state's education funding system is unconstitutional, in part because Texas doesn't spend enough on schools to pay for the standards that have been set. How do you think the lawmakers are going to address that issue?
It's going to the Texas Supreme Court. I don't think the legislature will act until the Supreme Court does. They want to do more than the court's going to require. and they don't want to do something and have the court say, no, you did the wrong thing. So I think they'll probably wait. And it has a weird impact on spending. It gives the budget writers an easy way to tell lawmakers, hey, don't spend all of this money that we're getting from oil and gas. We may need it when the court comes back.
So probably not a whole lot more spending on public schools?
I don't expect a big change on public schools until the Supreme Court has ruled on the school finance case.
So that could be a year or two more.
It could be a special session. It could be in the next regular session. It's just, you know, it's hard to predict what the court's going to do and when it's going to do it.
You know, there's still talk about a Texas solution to access the $100 billion in federal Medicaid money we rejected when we rejected Obamacare. Do you see a serious effort there, or do you think that issue is dead?
You know, I suspect it's dead, but it's a ton of money. And a lot of the medical community in Texas has been, you know, quietly and some not so quietly lobbying for this. Given the conservative, you know, nature of the people who just got elected, I think it's a hard sell.
There's no question the Democrats got creamed in this election. What kind of voice do you think they're going to have at the Texas Capitol?
Elections have consequences, and it's going to be tough on the Democrats for a while.
It's hard to believe the legislative session is just about 2 months away. It starts on January 13th. Ross Ramsey of the Texas Tribune, thanks so much for talking with us.
Thank you. Always a pleasure.
StoryCorps is coming to Dallas on November 20th. The Public Radio Oral History Project will set up its mobile booth in the Dallas Arts District. For the next few weeks, we're revisiting some classic StoryCorps segments, all recorded in Texas. We'll hear now from a World War II veteran who survived Pearl Harbor. Frank Curry was 17 years old when he enlisted and ended up on the USS Tennessee. Parts of his story may be difficult to hear.
When I got out of high school, I went looking for a job, couldn't find it. So I told Mama, I'm joining the Navy, and you have to sign the papers because I'm only 17. I said, if you don't sign the papers for me, Mama, I'm going downtown and get a hobo to sign them. Finally convinced her, and I went aboard the battleship in August. We headed for Pearl Harbor. I'd never even heard of it. I didn't even know what it was. The day of the attacks, I was mess cooking. We hear this big blast. Instantaneously, another blast. And we come up our topside. I saw the first god-awful sight I witnessed that day. That's when the bomb come down that hit the Arizona. That ship come 12 to 15 foot in the air, broke in two, and settled back down. If you'd have had a bag of popcorn, and you'd have went out here in a breeze and threw it up in the air, that was bodies that went out all over that harbor. All those that could started picking them up as soon as they could. We gonna get in the barges, help them go pick bodies up out of the water. One of them come up. He approached a young man in the water. And as he approached him, the young man severely burned and everything. He said, do not touch me. He said, I gotta touch you. I gotta get you medical help. And when he reached out to help the boy in, what he grabbed a hold of come right off in his hand, just like that boy had been cooked on a stove. I still have the nightmares, never got over the nightmares. And with God as my witness, I read my paper this morning, and right now, I can't tell you what I read. I can't remember it. But what happened on that day is tattooed on your soul. There's no way I can forget that. I wish to God I could.
That was World War II veteran Frank Curry at StoryCorps in Waco. He recorded that conversation before his death on December 7th, 2011, the 70th anniversary of the Pearl Harbor attack. Tomorrow, you can begin booking a time to tell your story. Learn how at KERA.org. From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Justin Martin.